Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke 6, verses 17 to 26. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They, troubled by impure spirits, were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. "Look at his disciples," he said. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord.
When we go for conferences, when we attend camps, at the end of everything, we are asked to give feedback. This is normally seen in our camps and conferences and retreats. When we are asked to give feedback, normally they ask what was good, what did go well, and what was not good, what do you think could have been done better. Someone said they are like roses and thorns, roses and thorns. Jesus has come to establish his kingdom. His kingdom has come into this world. And what are the blessings that we see in this kingdom? What are the dangers that we see? That's our discussion this morning. Blessings and woes. What are all the blessings that we see in his kingdom? His kingdom has come. When Jesus came to this world, he brought this kingdom. And this kingdom is growing steadily, strongly, consistently. This is growing everywhere. How do we know that his kingdom has come to this part of the world? Because the church is here. The church is the sign of God's kingdom. Church is not the kingdom. Church is part of the kingdom. Wherever you see a church, wherever you see people coming together, worshiping together, there the kingdom of God has come. And this is growing steadily. And what the values of this kingdom? That is also, we are going to look at it, probably not the full extent, but we will look at it. I heard about culture, the Australian culture. You know, whenever they invite people to dinner, they say, "Bring a plate, bring a plate." A foreigner heard this, "Bring a plate. You are invited to our home for dinner." So he dutifully took an empty plate. And there he understood that he was supposed to bring a plate full of food. That's a custom there. So when we come to the kingdom of God, what the values that we are going to discuss here? Now, in the gospel message, these words are very familiar to us. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew records this in the Sermon on the Mount. We call it Sermon on the Mount. It is all because this sermon is preached on a mount. 102 verses he preached on that mount. So in Matthew, we have got chapter 5, 6, and 7, three chapters, Sermon on the Mount. Why Sermon on the Mount? Because that's very important to his audience, Jewish readers. The Ten Commandments were given on a mount, the Sinai Mount. And many spiritual experience took place on the mount. It's a mountain experience. Abraham took his son Isaac to a mount to sacrifice him. And Elijah, it's a spiritual experience. And Matthew very clearly said, look, this sermon that I am presenting you is from on the mountaintop. It is from above. And very beautifully it is recorded. But that's not the case with Luke. Luke sees this in a different way. Of course, both are two different events, but Luke purposely wanting us to listen that this is the sermon on the plain, sermon on the level. Two are two different incidents, but Matthew picked up Sermon on the Mount, but Luke picked up Sermon on the Level or Sermon on the Plain. Why did he do that? If you look at the passages that lead to this Sermon on the Plain, you would notice that Jesus prayed the entire night on the mount. And as he was coming down, he gathered 12 disciples. In fact, after praying overnight, he chose 12 disciples, gathered them, and he came down to the plain, came down to the level. There he started doing, there he healed people. What is there on the level? One particular scholar very beautifully said, on the ground level, you see corpses, disgrace, idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation, and mourning. So on the ground level, you see all that. And Jesus comes along with his disciples to change that situation. People who go through suffering, people who are poor, people who are hungry can be now blessed because the kingdom of God is coming to the ground level. That's how Luke wants us to look. He has come to our level so that we all can be blessed. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, that's the experience of Mary. Mary, a lowly girl, a poor girl, from a poor village, poor family. Of course, no identity whatsoever. Nobody knew who Mary was. And Mary is saying, surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Why people are going to call me blessed? because the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I am blessed. It is all because God visited me. God has come into my life. So I am called blessed. God has come to our level so that we can be called blessed. The second thing that I want to bring before we get into the four blessings and four vows. See, Jesus has come to our level. The kingdom of God has come to us, which means reversal are going to be possible, which means division is going to be seen. Blessed, wicked, people who trust in God, people who don't trust in God. That division is going to be seen, and also reversal is possible. Reversal is possible. That's what Mary also sang very beautifully. Powerful will be brought down and the lowly will be lifted up. The people who are hungry going to be filled. The people who are rich can be sent away empty. So the reversals are possible. And that's what Luke is clearly saying. The kingdom of God has come. Now reversal are going to take place. We go to these four blessings and four woes. Now, the first one is, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The corresponding one with it is, but woe to you who are rich, for you already received comfort. At one point, the poor are going to be called blessed, and the other point, the rich are not going to be considered. There is danger being rich. What is Jesus teaching us? What is he telling? Is he against people who are materialistically rich? Is he against rich people? I don't think so. If you look at Jesus' ministry, Luke chapter 8, that's in Luke gospel itself, the rich women supported his ministry. Luke chapter 8 verses 1 and 2, when you read a list of women's name given, all of them were rich. In the same Luke gospel, of course, all four gospels have got the name Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was a rich man, a wealthy man. He probably was serving for the Jewish council, the highest Jewish decision-making body called Sanhedrin. And this Joseph has given his tomb, and then he gave Jesus a royal burial. A rich man. So Bible is not against people who are rich. Jesus is not against people who are rich. What Jesus is teaching here is that when rich people insulate themselves with their wealth, when they think that their wealth is sufficient for them, when they think that their wealth is going to give them everything that they need in life, when they trust in their wealth, there they are in danger. Because they are not looking at God, they are not feeling, they are not realizing the need of God in their lives. This is very clearly mentioned in Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. What is poor in spirit? The one who realizes that he is nobody. The one who realizes that he is in need of God. The one who realizes that he cannot help himself. He needs help from outside. Such people are blessed because for them is the kingdom of God. The one who realizes the need of God in his life is blessed. Very beautiful, isn't it? Whether you are rich or whether you are poor, if you realize the need of God in your life, you are blessed. Kingdom of God belongs to you. I may get 10,000 euros salary, or I may get 1,000 euros salary, but God is the one who has to provide me. God is the one who has to feed me. God is the one who has to give me appetite. Whether you're rich or whether you are poor, God is the one who is providing. Are you recognizing this in your life? Where are you putting your trust? Are you putting your trust in wealth? That is danger. That is not the way his kingdom operates. His kingdom operates when you trust in him, when you put your faith in him. That's how his kingdom operates. Because of our wealth, we are not showing interest to God. You know that I was a missionary. I worked in the villages. Our method is very simple. We go to the villages. Of course, I was working in the among the tribals. So poorest of the poor. We go to a village. We sat in a corner, sing songs, and 20, 30 people will easily gather, and we preach the gospel. Many of them did not receive the gospel. Some of them have received the gospel. For example, if I go and stand at Walray at a corner, sing song, do you expect anyone to come and stand before me? Wealth, is it not taking us away from God? The kingdom can only penetrate in us when we realize the need of God. The danger is wealth. The second point Jesus is saying here is, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. What is the point here? I want to ask this question. Have you ever been fully hungry? Have you ever been hungry for 2 hours? I still remember when Samuel, my son, was 2 years old, his mother had difficulty. She was complaining to me, saying that Samuel is not eating, Samuel is not eating, you are not taking care of him. No, I was a pastor in Nagpur. Our salary was not that great. To get an appointment with a child specialist is very difficult, but of course I got an appointment. We went to the doctor. We hardly spent a minute. As soon as the doctor saw him, he said, yeah, he has got no problem, take him and go. The problem is, she was feeding him every 1 hour. At the time of regular meal, at the time of meal, he was not at all eating. And that was a complaint. We are filling ourselves with many, many things. TV programs, computer games, entertainment, tourist work, and whatnot. We are filling ourselves and we have no time for God. I hear people say that, you know, at this moment we are very busy. When I get retired, that time I will seek God. If we are not seeking God now, I don't think we will be able to seek God at our retirement. Do we have the desire for God in us? That's the question. Do we have the desire? Why don't we have the desire of God in us? Is it because we are filled? Israelites had got that problem. Because, if they are well settled, you know, they have come to the promised land, they are settled, the borders are secure, no more enemies. then they slowly drift away and going away from God. So God has to always remind them by sending enemies. And God has taken them out of their comfort zone to a foreign land on exile. The Babylonians came and took them to Babylon. Is that the way God wants to deal with us? Are we showing interest to know God more? Are you having the desire of God? If you don't have the desire to pray, if you don't have the desire to read Bible, the problem is not with the prayer, the problem is not with the Bible, the problem is with you. If you have that kind of a feeling, the first thing to do is kneel down and ask forgiveness. Repent. There's something you need to be doing to repent and to come back to God. I want to read a verse from Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, they have made you tired, how will you compete with horses? With all comforts in our life, we are not able to grow in our understanding of God. With all comforts in life, we are not able to train ourselves in Christian discipline. How difficult it will be when you have a difficult time. You are not able to run with people who are walking. How are you going to run when you had to race with the horses? Do you have the hunger for God? If we are filling ourselves with all unnecessary things, then that is danger. The third one, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Is God asking us to weep? Is God against people who are laughing? No, I don't think so. The question is, do you share God's broken heart? Do you share God's pain? It is about righteous people. It is about blessed people who grieve for unrighteousness around them. If you read Ezekiel, God directs him to go through the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things. Do you grieve over the sin that you see around you? I want to go quickly. I have said this before, that I was working for an organization called IJM, Indian International Justice Mission. I was in a city called Bangalore, and I was given a very important position. We were rescuing people from forced labor or bonded labor. We rescued I worked for only 1 year, and during that time, we might have rescued more than 240 people. That's a big thing. But the same organization worked all over the world, but they worked in India, both in Mumbai and Calcutta, two big cities in India, to rescue people from brothels, girls from brothels. At some point during my service with them, they thought I should be transferred to Calcutta to work among work with the team to rescue people from brothels. That's the idea was going on for some time. It did not materialize. But then during that time, this question came to me. If I go and visit these brothels, will my heart grieve visiting these brothels, or will I go with lustful eyes? A very important question. When we see sin around us, When we see unrighteous actions go around us, do we grieve? Do we carry the heart of God? That's the question. So if we are laughing over it, if we are taking it lightly, then that's danger. But if you carry the pain of God in your heart, that will give you blessing. The fourth one, blessed are you when people hate you on account of Son of Man. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. Jesus says, do not go in the way of popularity. Look at the way of the prophets and the apostles, how they were treated. This morning I was listening about Polycarp. Polycarp, one of the early church fathers in Smyrna, he was martyred. 86 years, you know, when he was being martyred, 86 years, this Lord has done nothing wrong to me, why I should betray him. And he was killed. That's the path. That's the path. Elijah won the great battle against Baal's worship, but he had to flee. Jeremiah was branded as a traitor. Ezekiel was accused of a false prophet. Daniel was thrown into lion's den. John the Baptist was beheaded. Our Lord Jesus was crucified. In his kingdom, that's blessed. The danger is if I look for popularity, if I look for recognition. The danger is if I go through the, if I like that kind of a recognition. So trust in the Lord, not in your wealth. Inculcate in you the desire for God, not to be filled with worldly things. Grieve over the sins of the world, not to be relaxed with the sin around you. If people persecute you, if people oppose you on account of Jesus, rejoice, you have a great reward waiting. Kingdom values are beautifully taught by our Lord Jesus through these woes and blessings. Now we have to ask ourselves, am I aware of these dangers? Am I taking enough steps to keep me away from the dangers and that I remain blessed? Gold rush in Australia in 1850 had a profound effect on the country. In 2 years, the population exploded in Victoria from 77,000 to 540,000. The treasure created enthusiasm and excitement. Jesus has come to our level to make us blessed. Do we have that excitement to join with him and enjoy the blessing that he brings to us? May the dear Lord make us blessed. God bless us all. Amen.